two other Boston City councilors, Andrea Campbell and Michelle Wu, were already in the race, and they recently came out with significant public health initiatives. They're both joining us today to talk about those proposals. We will begin with Andrea Campbell, who rolled out a vaccine plan in December and now is addressing the public health crisis at Massachusetts Avenue and Malnia Cass Boulevard. We spoke with Campbell late this morning and started with her reaction to news that had just then broken about Boston Police Commissioner William Gross's retirement.
Well, obviously, it was a surprise to me, but of course, it's a personal decision by Commissioner Gross, and I congratulate him on his retirement and, of course, look forward to working with the acting commissioner because there are, of course, pressing issues with respect to policing reform. And I think it's also an opportunity to begin to reflect on how we create greater diversity still in the leadership roles in the department, particularly at the senior level.
I'd like to turn now to your candidacy for mayor. Last time we spoke with you was actually the day you announced. So now you have started rolling out key policy initiatives. You have talked about vaccines and vaccine equity. Now the public health crisis that's embodied at the intersection of Mass Ave and Malnia Cass Boulevard, which is centered around addiction and homelessness. It is the number two thing in your policy list on your campaign webpage. Why emphasize so heavily this particular policy issue for the city?
Well, this is, in addition to COVID-19, Mass and Cass is another major public health crisis. I put out this plan because I wanted folks to recognize that I understand the urgency and that we needed not only a plan, but action. This neighborhood is also near and dear to me. I grew up right down the street, and it is quite sad to see what our children are encountering, whether it's needles in the parks, bottle caps. So folks on the ground are working incredibly hard, but what is most important is that we have a plan, and as mayor, I have a plan, but also specific things that we can do to improve our outreach in the area.
I'd like to stay on that plan for a minute. There's several key components, just a few: appointing a Mass and Cass chief who would report directly to the mayor, decentralizing services from this really highly concentrated area, moving quickly to roll out ferry service to the Long Island facilities that have been dormant since 2014. Mayor Walsh, the current mayor, has proposed decentralizing services, has had a task force on the area. Does this plan suggest that Mayor Walsh has been ineffective in addressing the crisis at Mass and Cass? And where do you think you'll be able to get traction and solutions that he has not been able to accomplish?
So first, I want to acknowledge there are a whole host of folks, including city employees and local providers and residents who have been working incredibly hard, but they're overwhelmed. And so I put out this plan and said, you know, one, as mayor, I would appoint a Mass and Cass chief whose sole responsibility it is, and that this Mass and Cass chief be a public health professional. It was also critically important to me that we develop and create a first responder unit that not only includes first responders, but includes mental health clinicians, as well as public health and other professionals, and to also be consistent in our response. Decentralization, also another critical piece of the plan, and the plan is to decentralize services so these services are more accessible, and to also provide more safe spaces and shelter and supportive housing, which we can absolutely do. And of course, reactivate the Long Island conversation with a more realistic plan.
This is a regional problem that is having a very hyper-local manifestation. That means that making these changes requires resources on residents who are coming into the city but are not from the city, collaboration with communities like Quincy, other neighborhoods in Boston. It's not been clear that there's been the will from other parts of the city and the region to take this issue on. How do you get that traction and that collaboration to scale up this response and decentralize it the way you want to?
So before launching this campaign, I did a walkthrough with residents and spoke with many who were helping with response down there. Immediately after that walkthrough with not only residents, but those who were actually experiencing substance use disorder who participated in that walkthrough, I sent a letter to the mayor and the governor outlining strategies for a more effective response. And I sent it to the governor and folks at the state because there is no way the city of Boston can be effective in its response without further involvement from the state and from the region. And so I'll continue to push that. That absolutely is a part of my plan as well.
In our remaining time, let's talk for a minute about your vaccine plan. You've been focusing on this since December. We face this challenge, which is there are a lot of investments that need to be made. There's clearly condemnation at the state level, and you lay out some pretty serious call to action at the city level around ensuring equitable access to vaccines, long-term sustainable access. But this horse is also already out of the gate. Vaccinations started in December. How do you manage the push to increase translation services in foreign language, get more sites stood up in the city while this plane is also flying?
Absolutely. You know, equity in our COVID-19 response is critically important. And I introduced actually a hearing order on this very issue in December of last year, and saying that the city of Boston needs to get ahead, make sure we have access to testing and greater access, particularly in communities of color, to testing, but also when it comes to the vaccine. I have a hearing that's actually coming up on February 9th and saying that we have to have a multilingual, culturally competent response. And that not only means that we have locations in every neighborhood, but also that we are having robust communication and outreach and delivering information to our hardest to reach populations, and that we're investing in organizations on the ground. And I've been at the forefront of this starting in December and will continue to, because it is critically important to us getting out of the pandemic, but also to our economic recovery.
So I recognize you have this hearing on the 9th that you organized with Councillor Arroyo. Also, you know, I think we're all aware that every minute right now, the clock is ticking. Somebody else could get sick and some percentage of those people could die before vaccines happen. What's the push today, tomorrow, next Monday as phase two begins to improve immediately the access for people of color and other vulnerable populations in Boston?
It is immediately opening up more vaccine and vaccination sites, which is happening, but we need to do that swifter and quickly. It is also very important at the same time that we immediately invest in community-based organizations. And so I will continue to push for that to happen and not let up.
Briefly, before we let you go, Boston City Councilor at Large Anissa Saibi George entered the race alongside you and Councilor Michelle Wu today. Reactions to that announcement?
Of course, I congratulated my council colleague and will continue to work in partnership. You know, I got back into this race back in September when the mayor was still in it. And for me, it wasn't about who was in the seat or who was going to run. It was about looking at the moment in time we're in and saying Boston has a unique opportunity to address our own painful history with race and racism and the persistent inequities that exist in the city of Boston, and that I have the unique leadership, not only because I understand those inequities, I have lived them. And obviously, you know, the reason I got into public service work is after losing my twin brother, who passed away while in the custody of the Department of Correction, and asking that question, how do two twins born and raised in this city have such different life outcomes? That is my work ahead, to reach as many voters as possible, to get our message out there. And I will tell you, we are feeling tremendous momentum. We just had an endorsement from First Lady Diane Patrick yesterday, and we're gonna continue to work really hard and making sure that we reach every voter across the city of Boston and make them a part of this campaign.
And last question for you, Councillor Campbell, and I'm asking you, Councillor Saibi George and Councillor Wu, the same question today. The question of the home rule petition, which would bypass a special election that's required if Mayor Walsh is confirmed as Labor Secretary and resigns his position by March 5th. Where do you stand on that home rule petition?
I support the home rule petition and not requiring folks to show up in the midst of a pandemic to four elections in the course of this year.
And that is Andrea Campbell, city councilor and a candidate for mayor in the city of Boston. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.